Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 862. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Now, the heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Enjoying some college baseball, honestly, currently, as we record. Maybe that'll be the new thing in the intro. Just talk about whatever the hell I'm actually watching in the background. I'm trying to. I watched a little bit NXT, but I guess I try to avoid it now since we record on Tuesdays most of the times. There is a lot of wrestling, and AEW's previous offering, Dynamite, was not well received by you. AEW Collision, though, comes with a two-hour time frame and on Saturday evenings, and that got your interest this week. We've got to lead off with CM Punk's rebuttal, or we're not really a wrestling podcast. Is that how it works?
I guess so. CM Punk opened the show. Had a lot to say, while at the same time, not saying very much. alluding to something he had in his red bag, implying that he has kept the original AEW title belt in his possession this entire time, and that he is still the champion.
That was a part of it that I'm like. It felt like pretending Scripps is not Reggie. You know, like the announcers having to play dumb as to, well, what's really in the bag? And I'm like, well, it's shaped like a championship. So I'm going to take a wild guess that it's probably a championship. Like, call me crazy. Like, there is an outline in the bag because he's holding it up.
Yes, that is assuredly what that is. I said we are going to move, I imagine, in the coming months towards Punk and MJF. And also, Punk did make sure to take a little, throw a few couple jabs at the Elite along the way.
One was at them. One was more directed towards their fans.
Yes.
The only thing softer than your favorite wrestler is you. Oh man, that was
that was the other way around.
Oh, it was. Oh. I guess it was more of a shot at directly at them then. But even those were pretty, you know, tame, I would say. So it does kind of feel like, about as much as CM Punk can, he was playing nice.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I guess it's not a surprise. Like, it doesn't feel like MJF had any part in, keeping CM Punk off of TV.
No, he really didn't. But at the same time, anything can happen here. Anyone could be lying. Putting false fake rumors through the press or what have you. But if you take him at face value, everything's at face value, we are not getting a CM Punk versus and Friends versus Elite feud anytime soon.
That does not seem. He didn't take enough shots at them to make it feel like it was going to head that way. Yeah, him kind of more talking about the single stuff anyway really makes you think that he's, and he should be a singles wrestler. Their fascination with trios fights is out of control at this point.
It definitely can be. But once again, just as a way to get his feet wet and just
Oh, yeah.
get out the ring rust. It was a fine way to do it. Match was fun, but interesting to me though, no big angle to end the show. Nothing announced for this coming Saturday's episode. It's just like that was a weird call, because if
Oh.
most weeks the angles from Dynamite aren't going to carry over to Collision, then you left with no hook to tune in next week. We don't know what CM Punk's going to be doing next week. Rumors are right now that because Dynamite's in Chicago, CM Punk's going to be live on Dynamite, as he will in some weeks, apparently. And in those weeks, the Elite will not be on Dynamite, according to word. And there's still people wondering whether Punk is going to end up having a match at Forbidden Door or not. Kenny Omega already announced for a match, obviously already announced for a match for Forbidden Door.
No.
They're going to have to at one of the pay-per-views. They're going to have to all be in the same place.
Oh.
You could get away with it for Forbidden Door not having Punk on the show if there's no place for him. Although you could put him against, once again, the Kenta match has been
Oh.
kind of
It's out there at least.
teased. It's out there. It's
Yeah.
teased. Kenta saying that he give me
Unconfirmed, but
money.
out there.
Kenta saying, "No, give me money." He wants the bag in order to do this match, and not the bag that CM Punk's carrying around with him. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, once again, Kenny Omega is scheduled for Forbidden Door. The Young Bucks currently are not, although with their history in New Japan, you imagine that they could, throw something together, some type of tag match
Oh.
where they put a Japanese wrestler or two on their side against the Blackpool Combat Club with a Japanese wrestler or two on their side. Just doing a bunch of tag, a few, ta a handful of tag matches to round out the card, or a few, ta I mean, don't mean necessarily the handful to round out the card as of, maybe when they go off the air for Dynamite. But yeah, no, I'm just, it's just interesting to me that, Collision doesn't really, did not end with a big hook. We don't necessarily
Yeah.
still don't know what CM Punk is going to be doing. You imagine there'll be something with MJF in the title, but MJF is currently in a feud with Adam Cole, who of course still needs to find another way to get a title shot after going to a 30-minute draw with MJF. But I imagine that's still going to be simmering as well.
Oh, yeah, that definitely. Yeah, that match definitely reeked more of we're carrying this angle on than just, yeah, anything else. And so, yeah, CM Punk does at least have a feud to wait for moving forward. And yeah, he isn't really left with any feud after this kind of specialty match. And I feel like you mentioned the no hook on Twitter. And it was just kind of funny because I ended up watching Collision after watching SmackDown. And SmackDown had like two or three matches at the end of the show that they had already announced for next week's SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown already has two matches announced for the week after show.
So, yeah, I guess it was one of those things that I'm just like, yeah.
And AEW loves announcing all their TV matches in advance. My God, trying to make Kevin Kelly play the Excalibur role was quite hilarious, as the graphics were just flying through the screen. He could not. He was struggling.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly, I liked it because it was a two-man booth for the most part. When JR came on, it was just like, why are you here?
Oh, poor J. Oh, JR, that poor old guy. He just needs to go. I don't know what I mean about it. He needs to ride off into the sunset. You know, they can keep him on the payroll, you know, as a consultant or what have you. I know he practically moved to Jacksonville during the pandemic so he could be at, you know, Dynamite every week. I don't know if he still does or if he still has ties to Oklahoma. You know, I know obviously his wife has passed, but you know, he's still got his kids and grandkids. Like, don't just
Yeah, general stuff.
spend the time with your grandkids while you have it to spend. You don't need to be traveling across the country once or twice a week at your age, and you know, apparently falling in the morning at some point, or in the shower, in the hotel, or what have you. You know,
Oh, I
maybe
did
what?
not hear that story.
Oh, you haven't seen the black eye?
I will admit I was not paying. Did he? Yeah, was he on camera?
No, they did not put him on camera. They did not put his face on camera. He tweeted it out earlier in the day. And
Oh,
this
okay.
might be the third or fourth time that he has, like, you know, taken a picture of himself with some kind of black eye or a bruise on him, you know, because he fell. I'm like, that's not normal. That's not okay. You're not okay, man.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good sign at a minimum.
Yeah, no. So that was that part was definitely a shame.
It was weird, but to kind of go back to the Kevin Kelly thing, it seemed weird. Like, I know that he hosted a fine wrestling program when I was listening to him in ROH. I don't know if it's just the level of production or something
Yeah,
that.
I mean, Kevin. I mean, he's done ROH. He's done New Japan. You know, he just did not. But you know, the thing with most of those shows is they're taped, and he didn't bring the energy for a live debut, packed crowd, live TV. He just did not bring the energy to me.
Oh.
That was my complaint with him.
Yeah, well, and I don't think it helped him out at all. I thought it was kind of interesting. I suppose I haven't heard Nigel announcing on, ROH recently. But heel Nigel, I guess I thought that was kind of an interesting thing going on there. Because I feel like Wade Barrett pulls off a little kind of better tweener heel kind of situation where he doesn't
Oh yeah,
completely
yeah.
commit to
Wade
it.
Barrett has gotten the opportunity to be very, very good. I don't know what Nigel's. Well, he was doing NXT or NXT UK, and you know, he's but he hasn't been obviously around in a while there, and I don't know if he's been doing Ring of Honor actually, because I don't watch the show. I mean,
Oh, well.
I thought the Ring of Honor commentary team nowadays is Ian Riccaboni and what's his name? Not Cabana. Colt's not, you know, not Cabana.
Oh, Cedric Coleman.
Yeah, Coleman. Yeah, Caprice
Caprice
Coleman.
Coleman, yeah.
Caprice Coleman. Yeah, I feel like that's. You know what? Now, I think I would go with Riccaboni, honestly, for the play-by-play for this. I know he's the ROH guy, but you know. You've already got so many commentators under contract. You really didn't need to sign Kevin Kelly. I mean, if you want to keep have Nigel around, I mean, there's been talk that they're gonna that, of that Nigel's gonna get a match with Danielson at Wembley Stadium,
Oh,
so he can
jeez.
finish his career, the poetic way.
Yeah, the way that
Again.
he on
You know,
his
in a
terms.
huge crowd in his home country against his greatest rival.
Oh my gosh. That was one of those things. Thanks for kind of reminding me of that topic, because it ties into Collision, the main event part. When they were talking about the Samoa Joe CM Punk feud being in 2003, was it? Or 2004?
I think, when they had all those matches that, you know, that really did, you know, it really did put Ring of Honor on the map. I mean, I'm trying to remember, what about after the fact and like on like YouTube in the days when YouTube was the Wild West and you and no one was copyright striking anything. They were pulling down anything for copyright.
The good old days as those things go. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, like, I know, obviously CM Punk had his time in WWE, but that's a long time ago now, and I'm just
Punk made his WWE ECW debut in 2006.
Holy smokes.
He was in, like, probably in OVW for a year before that. I mean, you know, his last Ring of Honor appearance was probably the summer of 05. That's a long time ago.
Well, yeah, and that was the one thing that I thought about. I mean, I know that we kind of talk about it with the Stings of the world and everything, and maybe even some of the WWE guys. But that was one where I'm like, oh my God, these two have been in world championship matches for that long. And even I think Kevin Kelly was talking about the time in between the times that CM Punk and Samoa Joe had each wrestled each other. And I'm just like, you don't really need to talk about that number.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not liking I'm reminding people how long ago things were and how old, first of all, how old the combatants are. Second of all, how old I am.
Oh man, yeah, that was one where I'm like, yeah, like maybe pipe down on that a little bit, but they definitely were touting that, and I guess I'm not surprised with them having the ROH. It's definitely one of those, hey, let's do a little, and I'm okay with it. a little bit of advertising. You don't need to over advertise, but have at it. Like that's why TV exists, right? You got to have some type of crossover at pretty much all times. I guess, what did you think about Collision as a general whole, since we mainly talked about the main event?
The Collision as a whole, I thought it was okay. You know, I mean, I thought the Buddy Matthews Andrade match ended up you know, really, really good. That was probably the highlight of the show, certainly from an in ring standpoint.
Yeah, they definitely got to it in the ring. I don't feel like either of those two have gotten off on a great foot in AEW itself. That was a match that should help them out.
Yeah, should help them out, and it's going to turn into a full feud with the House of Black involved, which means that Andrade's going to have to pick up with his group again. What are they all called together? Los Ingobernables something something?
I forget what it is.
With Roosh and
yep.
the other fellows. Oh God, I can't believe it.
Ignobarables. My Spanish is about as terrible as Kevin Kelly's.
I was before, you know, when Andrade was walking into the ring by himself, I'm like, well, he finally got to get rid of that Jose geek. But now it looks like they
might
all be coming back together again anyway. So,
yeah. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with a six man out of that situation. I really like Roosh, so I'm okay with that. I don't know who they're going to have as the third guy.
Roosh is great. Roosh is a lot of fun.
So, yeah, that'll be a good one. And that was probably the best in-ring thing. I kind of like the way that it flowed, honestly. Like, it did just... I talked to Jeremy about it a little bit, and it was one of those things where it's just like, yeah, it feels like a wrestling show. Like, they didn't go out too far out of the box, and that's fine. It did seem like... I don't know if the production was a little bit better. The stage was a little... I don't know why... To me, the stage looked different.
Well, it should look different. Obviously, the Collision logo is a ripoff of the Nitro logo, and then they had like the marble rampway, which was different.
Yeah. So I liked some of the little small changes that they made to make the two products feel a little bit different. Obviously the WWE does it, and you got to do a little bit of branding to make sure each thing stands out a bit. One thing that I almost forgot about, are you a fan of the TNT Championship Hot Potato?
Poor Wardlow. That guy must have pissed somebody off so bad. Like, you're they've done this to him twice already.
Yep.
And you're never going to fully get it back to where it was a year ago. But now this one, because nobody really believes in Luchasaurus. Nobody really cares about Luchasaurus.
Yeah,
it's baffling. It really is. I mean, no pro wrestling promotion has ever done this with this guy. The guy who's this guy, your Ultimate Warrior, your Goldberg, your Batista. Even compare him to Taz and ECW. You know, your indestructible babyface is not supposed to be destroyed over and over again.
It was such a mystery that they did that just like right off the bat. Like, I liked Christian's promos? Does he seem like a real douchebag when he's delivering them? Yeah. It does not seem worth it at the expense of cutting Wardlow off at the knees again. It's worse, as much as I made fun of the WWE for their moves with Roman Reigns over the years, like, he had some real questionable losses in some big matches. Like, Wardlow is not even getting to the big matches to lose them.
No. And at this point, he never will. Like, there's no money in him, moving on from the TNT Championship and going for the World Championship. Although that would be such the easiest, if they had kept him strong, that would be the easiest story to tell with Wardlow going after MJF for the title this time. But we can't get there. He can't even beat Luchasaurus.
Or Will Hobbs.
He
did have a 1-1 with that, at least. Yeah.
When Samoa Joe kicked his ass, cut his hair, made him cry about his daddy, that was it. That was probably it for the most part. But then they just kept taking it back from him. This is the third time they've taken it from him.
He shouldn't
get it back. It should not be him. You've done what you've done. You decided he's not the guy. So then just move on.
Oh, yeah.
Because this guy, what he is supposed to be, you can't do this to him. He's not a good enough talker. He's not a good enough worker. He's got his physique. He's got an intensity, and he does a handful of power moves really well. That's what he has. And you've just negated it all. So he's not versatile enough to reinvent himself. It's just I don't get it.
Oh,
I don't get it at all.
yeah,
How he
that.
got here from where he was, coming off of beating MJF a year ago.
It is shocking where this has ended up, quite frankly. That was one where I'm like, huh? Like, I saw the end of the match. Well, I think I wasn't sure that I was going to get to watch it in time for the show. So I read the results and I read that result and I'm like, huh? Like, really? Like, we're going there? And I just shook my head. Like you said, like no one believes in Luchasaurus. It's all about Christian, and that's a weird spot to have your championship on someone who isn't wrestling, basically.
Yeah, because I guess the thing is going to be Christian acting like he's the champion this whole time, but then no one wants to see Luchasaurus turn back babyface to be Christian. No
Oh.
wants that.
No, people are just interested because Luchasaurus is bad right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to see that turn, but yeah, it's definitely coming at some point. I mean, Miro showed up for a cup of coffee. Good for him, I
Yeah,
guess.
definitely showing the potential he would have had as a babyface if WWE had gone for it during the peak of Rusev Day, and
Oh.
that is an angering thing to think about, actually. The wasted potential there.
Yeah, well, and it's still crazy what potentially basically wasted in AEW at this point, too.
That whole thing of him just basically being gone for a year, of nothing, not injured or anything like that, just in some weird limbo with Tony Khan and management. It boggles the mind, and he's not a young guy anymore either. So you really wasted a really, a one of maybe the few remaining productive years a guy's gonna have. So. I mean, I guess I say that while Jeff Jarrett, Billy Gunn, and Chris Jericho and Sting are all wrestling on AEW fairly regularly, so who knows?
Yeah, I would say that Billy Gunn's the only one who is truly wrestling regularly of that group. Sting definitely during the opening days of AEW, I feel like Sting was in the ring maybe a little too often. Now he just mostly comes out and looks menacing and does not really have a match
Yeah.
to participate in. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I guess Rusev could last a while, but I think the days of him being a mega star are probably gone at this point. Or
This
not.
is it. This is the last chance. You need to follow up on this week. You can't do that thing where AEW lets people just, twist on the vine for weeks on end, not appearing on any show. No, he's gotta be on Collision or Dynamite like every week. He's gotta be beating people quickly, and maybe he's that guy. Like I said, like
No.
I mentioned about Wardlow. You can get him there.
Yeah,
There
I
is
mean.
a connection there with the audience, and he does project an incredibly natural intensity.
Yeah, he'd be a good. It's kind of interesting that that whole time off probably hurt him in some ways, but also that's a full reset button if they feel like doing something more with it.
Oh yeah, it's a full reset. You don't turn him heel again. Just ride this baby face thing out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it was definitely there during the Rusev Day stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if people could get behind him in a meaningful way. You know. Only other thing left on the table here is the ladies tag team match. Probably because there is not a lot to say about that.
No. It was fine. It looks like they're finally starting to get behind Willow a little bit. New Japan gave them a little bit of a kick in the ass in that direction, and also a complete freak accident to the former Sasha Banks as well, playing a role in that too. So that's good. No,
Yeah.
Willow's definitely a kind of. Wholesome baby face that you can really push. Sky Blue is improving. I think, just not even that long ago, she was still having some rough spots in matches, but they put her in two fairly big spots in the same week on AEW TV, and she did really well.
Yeah, in a situation where you could be overwhelmed with a rather large crowd in Chicago.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And interestingly enough, Toni Storm and Ruby Soho, incredibly much more tolerable without Saraya. She is the problem. And whatever she's doing, whatever's going on with her, I guess I wish her well, but you don't have to rush back anytime. You don't have to rush back. We're fine. The girls are fine without you.
Well, yeah, she's just in a, a really weird spot, quite frankly. You know,
It
just
is,
because
but the
she's
spot is
still
just like
not really wrestling full time.
no, and she can't, and there's been moments where you could just tell she's not. She'll never be 100%. And then, she's, made herself a kind of a obnoxious personality in a bad way,
Oh.
both on screen and off screen. So it's just like no one's happy to see her. And it's just none of it's good. But Tony and Ruby together, just the two of them, there's something there.
Oh. Yeah, it might have a little more potential because yeah, it is just a weird spot for her, for any wrestler to be in, you know, like, and like you said, she's kind of bringing a little bit of wrestling baggage with her, if nothing else. And that's not usually a good thing. And usually, if you get rid of the baggage, it helps helps stop weighing you down. So, with that being said, is it finally time to get to SmackDown here?
I believe it's time to get to SmackDown.
Finally getting to the how dare we wait this long to talk about the Bloodline, Chris?
We won't make a habit of it. Although, as far as shoes dropping and major events unfolding, I don't know how many more there will be, because it finally happened. Jey Uso made his choice. He chose to stand by his brother. He kicked Roman Reigns in the face. They teamed up to kick both Solo and Roman in the face. And the Bloodline Civil War is on for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy the fact that they went straight for the Civil War talk with this one. And yeah, obviously we needed a decision. No one's really surprised by the decision, I don't think.
No,
I
I think they
mean,
did a good job teasing the other way, though. Jay was very, very convincing when he was reading his brother the Riot Act, and Roman Reigns just had the shit-eating grin on his face the whole time, and he was laughing it up,
yeah.
and the timing between Jay saying, "I'm out," to throwing down the microphone and kicking Roman Reigns in the face, like, it was so brilliantly timed. Like, there was no air in that as far as like, "Oh, come on, Roman had to see it coming, blah 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 blah." No. He moved so fast.
You can have a
You caught them
genuine moment
surprised.
of shock there, even if you're the tribal chief.
Yeah,
Because, and I mean, I
exactly.
think that they showed the tribal chief being, a little too arrogant about things anyway.
Yes.
Just
Oh, yeah.
throughout the night, honestly. Where it's just like, nah, everyone comes to me, and this, yeah, I feel like they really just played that really, really well, quite frankly. Where, yeah, even if you think that that took too long, which it didn't, yeah, it works out, like the timing and the shock from Roman Reigns end too makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, should we put up our now weekly disclaimer? This makes a lot more sense if Roman Reigns doesn't have the championship.
I wasn't even gonna say it, but yes, it's so true.
Now that it's officially official, you know what I mean? Like we really have something going on here. So yeah, so weird that this is the way things ended up.
But at this point, you gotta think, are we setting up for Jey Uso to get the one-on-one title match against Roman Reigns at SummerSlam?
This one seems more inevitable than, well, I shouldn't say inevitable, but yeah, I mean, that's got to be it. Like, he's the one that pulled, like, it's kind of interesting that Jimmy is going to get overshadowed in this whole situation, even though he was the one that broke from the bloodline first. Like, he should really get the credit for being the man to pull the trigger first. And he's not going to get it.
Jay has been the story since day one. So,
Yeah.
and we're gonna come full circle with some of this. And I even suggested it, the stipulation match where, Jimmy's in one corner, Solo's in the other, and it's whoever throws in the towel on their guy first. Their guy is the loser.
Oh, I thought you were going to
Because
go
every
with
time
a
that's how this match
Samoan on a
started.
pole match.
What?
Thought we were going to have a Samoan on a pole match.
And then the whole family around the ring as lumberjacks.
That would be kind of entertaining if they decided to do something like that.
That wouldn't be a terrible idea, but no, I mean, because this whole thing started, there was the first Roman Jay match. Jimmy threw in the towel, right? Jimmy threw in the towel for Jay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the second match was when Roman got, an injured Jimmy in the guillotine choke, in the guillotine, I should say,
Yeah.
guillotine choke, and then Jay said, "I quit." So it really does come back full circle. If they do something, some kind of, thing with towels or an I quit match, it really does take everything full circle back 3 years. Which is amazing. Which, they didn't plan it out like that from the start. There were moments they considered Roman Reigns losing the title along the way, I'm sure. So, but it's amazing that it will kind of feel like, everything coming full circle 3 years later.
Yeah.
No matter what they do. And, you know, again, as I mentioned for a while, I felt like conventional wisdom is Roman has a bigger name opponent for SummerSlam. You know, SummerSlam, it's in a stadium. You know, Roman needs a bigger name opponent. But every metric you could possibly look at tells you people are really, really into this storyline.
Oh, yeah. And even though I think this is definitely something that I know that I've talked about a lot recently, where a predictable, not always terrible thing. Like, even though the J turn was a predictable thing, that crowd went bonkers.
They did, yes. Give people what they want. And once again, they should have done that at WrestleMania with Cody. And this would have had zero or less effect.
Yeah, on this situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once again, Roman Reigns is going to be on two premium live events in tag matches. And he hasn't defended the title since WrestleMania, by the way. This could have been, you know, Cody and Brock should have been for the title this whole time. Now, granted, one of those two matches would have had to have been a disqualification because Brock couldn't win one of them straight up.
Oh, right.
Or maybe he could, and he just kind of hot potatoed the title a little bit, you know, after being on the same guy for nearly 3 years. It's forgivable. It's very forgivable.
Yeah.
Title sieges after you've had that. Had that long of a reign, so maybe you could have had Brock win the title, you know, and then Cody have to fight to get it back. I don't know. Either way, it could have worked. But that's not what they did. We're doing this.
No.
I mean, Roman versus Jay was a universal title feud when the world stopped, when there was nobody in the stands. And for that, and how it kicked off the bloodline angle and how it was received, it did well enough. But now, it's kind of amazing that we've actually, you know, on a real SummerSlam in front of a gigantic crowd, Jey Uso is most likely going to be in the main event. Or they'll somehow try to, you know, figure out how to make it a four-way and have dissension with all of them. And, you know, that might be the way to go about it, too.
Yeah, or you can always definitely spice things up if you don't want Jay to be the champion. Whoever wins Money in the Bank waits to be a vulture and takes out either a newly crowned Jey Uso champion or Roman Reigns after something of a bloodbath of a match with his cousin.
You could do that. I mean, I think the briefcase is getting cashed in on Seth, and
no,
it wouldn't surprise. We'll get into that later, but it really is amazing that, you know, what they've done with the storyline, you know, how over the Usos are, everything they've done, beyond the question of whether Roman Reigns should have lost at WrestleMania or not, has been done really, really well. They've nailed every touch point they need to get to this point. In the storyline with Roman and his cousins, we got the Bloodline Civil War coming. We'll see how that all shakes out for SummerSlam, where Roman Reigns does half. Let's get Roman at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns does have to defend the title there, I assume.
Yeah, it would be pretty shocking if Roman Reigns did not defend the championship at SummerSlam. Like you said, he has not defended it since WrestleMania, though.
And then he's probably not going to be on the next. He's not being advertised for Pittsburgh. They just announced that the October show is going to be in Indianapolis. I don't believe he'll be there either.
Oh man, another drivable pay-per-view. For yours truly.
You might have to think about that. It might be less expensive to travel in early October than Labor Day weekend. Because I looked at those hotels in the Pittsburgh area, near the arena. It's not good. I know this is in-house notes, folks. I'm sure you're all very, very riveted by this, but
no, we can talk about that later. It is the way I'll put that one. Roman is not going to be defending the title much, but yeah, I would think that he'd have to do it at SummerSlam, and then
at SummerSlam the next time they're in Saudi Survivor Series. I don't know if they're going to do War Games again or not. So we'll see about that. But he was on last year's Survivor Series. I'm sure he'll be on this year's. And the assumption is he's again making it all the way to another WrestleMania as champion.
It would be pretty surprising, honestly, to see Jay and or anyone else, quite honestly, end up with that championship before WrestleMania next year.
But here is a question. Okay, we've already had Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa have a tag match and lose because Solo gets pinned. Do you pull the trigger on Jey Uso, on Jay pinning Roman in the tag match at Money in the Bank?
That is probably the best way to get to that match.
It is. It really is. Yeah, I mean, I think that, just imagine, you know, a hot London crowd reacting to that moment. Oof, it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. I think that is the right call, because you are going to have issues with, you know, from a star power standpoint of trying to main event the second biggest pay per view of the year with Jey Uso.
And just because they always kind of. Yeah, they talk about a lot about singles and, you know, tag team kind of differential. They will at least be able to draw some parallels if Jay is the one who ends up pinning Roman Reigns.
That is the right call. Because you pin the champion, that makes you the number one contender, no matter what. If you're a tag team guy who rarely ever wrestles a singles match, you know. You pin the champion, you should get a title shot. They've been pretty steadfast with that. With that as a rule as well.
They keep with some good norms most of the time. That will be interesting to see that outcome. Just because Baron Corbin was the last person to pin Roman Reigns?
Yes, and back in 2019, yes. Or wait, 2019, excuse me, sorry. It isn't that long since Roman actually had a rough 2019, including getting pinned by Shane McMahon at one point.
Oh, man. Yeah, Roman did not have a smooth path to the top. That is for sure.
No, it was not smooth. It was not smooth at all. That man, you know, is right to have a chip on his shoulder, to some degree at least, and to use whatever power he has to make sure everything is exactly to his liking right now.
I do not blame him at all. Anything else stand out to you on SmackDown other than the Bloodline situation?
We kind of figured that they were going to win, but Pretty Deadly officially getting the tag team title match against the tag title match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
No.
And they're doing it on the SmackDown episode in the same building in London. still don't feel like it's time to pull the trigger on beating Kevin and Sammy.
So, oh,
you know, they'll probably lose in a close one that they can come back from.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the heel team be the coming close but no cigar kind of situation, since it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin and Sammy are going to be tag champions forever, but there's also nothing for them really to do right now in singles. So, and they're incredibly popular as a team. So I don't think you pull the plug just yet.
Yeah, and whatever weird friend therapy that Sami Zayn is now providing for Kevin Owens, I feel like they want to kind of continue that shtick at least for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for either of them to turn back anytime soon. I know the heel waters are a bit shallow, but they've both been heels so recently. It doesn't make sense to turn them back, and they're so popular right now. So
of all the people that I feel like you could nominate to switch back over, those two are on the, like you said, the do not pull this off list. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem necessary.
And then the other thing I guess that stands out from SmackDown is the confrontation with Charlotte and Bianca, and me just thinking, if the end game was these two feuding, why is Asuka the champion?
Asuka in real fear of being Wardlowed here.
Yeah. It's looking like what they're going to do is, of course, have Bianca. That's the SmackDown the night before Money in the Bank is going to be loaded up with matches, you know. There's a couple of big matches that aren't, you know, didn't make the cut for Money in the Bank, or just, you know, they can just not have them on Money in the Bank because, you know, the Money in the Bank matches are 30 to 45 minutes long with entrances anyway, so there's not, it's not really, maybe it's a 6-match card at most.
Right.
So, you know, you fit some things on SmackDown, and then I imagine the Women's Championship match from the SmackDown side of things at SummerSlam is going to be a triple threat. And that, you know, it could be a hell of a triple threat.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. In that regard, it'll be a really good match. But once again, it's just a weird thing. Like, if Charlotte was coming back so quickly, and Charlotte and Bianca is the money match, it's just kind of weird that they've got now Asuka in the middle as the champion. When Bianca just gonna beat Asuka again, and then we could just move on.
And honestly, yeah, no one would have expected. Honestly, I expected that to happen. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. It's almost like Charlotte's like, "Oh yeah, I'll come back now that Bianca lost." Huh? That's some interesting timing, lady. Yeah, that is kind of a weird spot for a championship feud. I guess I found it a little bit interesting to move to the women's championship on Raw there. Natalia Neidhart questioning herself was an interesting gimmick to be giving out to someone who has really not seen a lot of TV time for quite a while.
Yeah, no. Once again, this making Rhea so dominant and not having a great pool of baby faces to feed her is becoming a bit of a struggle here.
Yeah.
No one cares about Raquel. Moving out of her, you know, she can't get a good, she doesn't get good reactions.
That was one of those moments where I'm just like, it's definitely something that's been complained about on the show, smiling Raquel. She got great and determined when she was up in Rhea Ripley's face. And then the second that her music hit, she just walked out and did all the smiling and all the usual shtick. And I was just like, ah, you just lost me, guys. You just lost me.
Yeah, no, there's nothing there. I know they wanted to have the two big girls fight it out, but it just screams like, just get Becky out of this Trish feud so they can do that match at SummerSlam. It's just like, no, Rhea versus Raquel at SummerSlam, I imagine at this point, because the Money in the Bank card's already filling up.
Oh, and we're definitely
So,
not getting the conclusion of Trish and Becky at Money in the Bank.
yeah, no. I mean, I think that might end up happening for SummerSlam with that is Trish and Zoe end up teaming against Becky and Lita. That would
Yes.
make sense.
Yeah, that is, seems to have been the missing piece this whole feud.
Yeah.
Just because even if they had her make a statement, it would be a little more interesting. But
They're
she
just
has
heels.
remained completely silent.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can imagine that's coming, but again, it just feels like they're doing everything. They're just desperately trying to keep Becky out of the title picture for even longer. Then it's just like, no, let's just do this match. I mean, if you're waiting for like some big international show where you're running a stadium in Dublin and want a main event, like basically main event with Becky going for the title, you could do that. But now that the September and October shows are going to be in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis, you really don't need to do anything special. Or you don't have to wait for, I mean, I guess they might even be thinking, waiting all the way to WrestleMania. But man, does
Oh.
Rhea just not have the opponents. She just doesn't have the opponents
Yeah,
for that.
she, 'cause who was that just recently? Was it sh it wasn't Charlotte, was it? That just had, oh, Ronda Rousey is who I'm thinking about. Just did not have any opponents when she was SmackDown champion. You know, like yeah, there were other things wrong with that run, but her just not having any competent opponents was not did not help her out in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So, I'm trying to think of, well, and I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit, but we didn't talk about it. The men's Money in the Bank pool got a lot more interesting here with the inclusion of one Mr. Logan Paul this week.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot more interesting, and he should win. There is no doubt in my mind that he should win. I guess it would either be him or LA Knight, the amazingly popular LA Knight. But I think it's gonna be Logan Paul, and I think by the end of SummerSlam, Logan Paul will very likely successfully cash in on Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I mean, that would make a lot of sense.
It would make
Obviously.
a lot of sense. Once again, this title has had a rough introduction, but that image of Logan Paul strutting down to the ring in a World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship belt will make it a highly sought after commodity.
Yes.
You will have audiences that will be wanting people to kill that man to get it off. And Raw has all the top baby faces. Because you
Yeah,
could go
that
back with
the
Seth, you could run Cody, you could run Kevin or Sammy, you could do.
Yep.
And and people would just be just frothing at the mouth to see that title change. So yeah, no, I think it's absolutely what they should do.
And honestly, yeah, I mean, we've talked for I think a couple of weeks now about how underwhelming that Money in the Bank card looked, especially on the men's side. Yeah, I mean, it looked underwhelming, so it's not surprising that throwing Logan Paul into the mix will make it seem a lot more appealing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Putting him in a match like that and you know, utilizing the big spot from the Royal Rumble to tease him and Ricochet, you know, interacting during the Money in the Bank and the things Logan Paul could do in a ladder match. Yeah, no, it'll be a lot of fun. And as again, I do believe he's winning the whole thing.
I would be remiss to say I am pretty shocked about how popular LA Knight is. Like, it is wild.
I'm pretty shocked too. I guess I gotta get on this bandwagon like I got on it on NXT. And he is the next most likely to win Money in the Bank, for sure.
Yeah.
But you also can also just keep building him up more traditionally, you know. You could get to the point where he could be a contender to Roman Reigns at one of these upcoming shows.
Oh yeah, he could definitely be a body to fill a spot. That would make a lot of sense. But yeah, we will see if that ends up happening.
Or he could just end up being the one to beat Austin Theory. I think you could. You could go with that.
Yeah.
Because I think the U.S. title or U.S. Intercontinental is probably still the ceiling for LA Knight. You know, because there's still, you know, age and work rate issues. So you can hide by not having him in the main event.
Right. Yep, that is a real possibility of happening, and I suppose we'll see if that does end up becoming the case or not. Anything else that sticks out at you from Raw that needs to be talked about?
What? I feel like they spent the majority of Raw putting heat on the Judgment Day, only there for them to lose in the main event. That was a weird decision to me. Because, you know, Finn got a pretty brutal attack on Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
You know, and then they cut this their mission statement promo, you know, on the stage, and then Rhea destroyed Natty again, and, you know, and then only to set up for them to lose yet another big match. And I wasn't a fan of the decision. I mean, they've all got big matches at Money in the Bank. You could have rolled up Kevin or Sammy and hooked the tights, you know, really easily.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to be Cody, obviously, in that situation.
Or Rhea costs someone the match without the ref seeing for a change.
Yeah, you could have done that. Because, once again, you kind of threw away all the work you'd done earlier in the show. I know that's kind of what they do. Who knows? Maybe Priest is going to win Money in the Bank now. Because he keeps losing. So,
He would probably be the third most likely guy to me.
I would say so, yes. And out of that crew, yes. Yes. And while we know Finn's not beating Seth, that's definitely not happening.
Oh, no.
And as I mentioned before, if Brock sneaks across the pond, Dominic could very well get a win over Cody Rhodes. And that's exactly what should happen. Cody, Dominic, you know, say, I beat the man who won the Royal Rumble, who beat Brock Lesnar. I am not. Oh, God, him getting in Seth Rollins' face saying, I beat the man who beat you three times. declaring himself the number one contender.
Oh, it would be hilarious. People just, he is a heat magnet these days.
He is, yes.
Good for Dominic, and yeah, it would be a lot of fun if that ended up happening. So, okay, well, I guess talking a little bit of main event Raw sounds like a good place to pop out here. I have no the only thing I know about the Beltane beer currently is that it was from Grainworks. And that it was some type of an IPA. My brother-in-law was nice enough to get me a growler of beer, but did not remember the name of the beer. So nameless beer from Grainworks. It's pretty good. Nice little solid IPA there. So I will say that much at least. It would really help to know what type of beer, to help kind of fill in some extra information. But what are you gonna do? It's a growler, and I needed to get rid of it, post haste. So it'll be the Beltane beer for both shows, and maybe I'll figure out what it is in between shows. So that is the terrible Beltane beer review from at Defrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. Rate and oh yeah, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.